An artist's duty, as far as I'm concerned, is to reflect the times. I think that is true of our painters, sculptors, poets, musicians. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's their choice. But I choose to reflect.
Happy holiday to all of I was trying to go all the gays. Happy holidays to all the gays.
All the gays. Yes. The days, the she's, the we's, the all of us. Yes, happy holidays. And if we haven't given it away yet, then let's give it away now. Today we're talking about
Happiest Season. Directed by Clea DuVall. This is her second movie to direct. I don't know if it's her second movie to write or what's the deal there because I didn't look into it. But she is one of the writers. She wrote it along with Mary Holland, who also plays like a show star.
Oh, so good.
In this movie.
So good. I loved Jane in this. That was her name, right? Of course it was Jane, too. Yes. I felt like part of me wanted her name to be Mary, because I was like, she's the Mary of, like, if this were Pride and Prejudice. Like,
yeah.
But mm-hmm. Jane also works perfectly. This was such a fun, uplifting, bright film for me to watch. I love Christmas. I know that might be a hot take for a lot of people. Just kidding. no, but I do love Christmas, and I love Christmas movies, and this is one of the first ones that is a commercial film that highlights a gay relationship, specifically one of women loving women, which is one that we don't get to see as much, and it's definitely, like,
right.
Gay kind of culture in general is not something you're seeing a ton in holiday movies, except for, you know, maybe kind of a caricature of a gay person.
Well, we did also get this was a good year, yes, for the gays. I'm just kidding. we did get a gay Hallmark movie this year.
I was unaware.
I have not seen it yet. I did want to watch it, but I should have watched it while I was at home at my mom's house, because she has cable and I don't. yeah, it's a Hallmark movie with the dude, I can never remember his name. He played Aaron Samuels in Mean Girls. Jonathan Bennett.
Is he gay in real life? That's what I thought. He just got married, right?
I think so.
Guys,
yeah, I can't speak to the quality of that one. I mean, of course, it's a Hallmark movie, but, I mean, it's like, if you go into it knowing it's not going to be more than it is, you can enjoy it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was a good year for the gays. We got
two holiday movies.
Two holidays for the gays.
I love it. And this one, not only is it very, like, fun and quirky, and, you know, Clea and Mary wrote a lot of amazing characters for this film, but it's also a lesson in, like, the toxicity and danger in, like, fear and inauthenticity, and what that can look like on a micro scale and then, like, wild, bombastic scale later on in the film. And I just loved also Dan Levy's character. He was a hero for the film. I thought he was such a realistic kind of interpretation of kind of the people that I would say are in my life now, where, you know, you go to friends for advice and, you know, sometimes they need to take time to, like, process and then before they circle back with you and, like, give you their two cents. And, like, he does that throughout the film with Kristen Stewart's character. I just loved that little detail of, like, these are how, like, friendships can look and work, and, you know, people don't have to have all the right things to say at the right time all the time. Like, we can occasionally take a step back, be like, give me a sec, let me process this, and then I'll come back to you. So I loved that little just, like, quirk about his character as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, let's just talk about how fantastic this was.
Let's just dive in. Where do we start?
Well.
I, again, another week in a row, did not take notes.
And but... I took very few. Yes. I guess we could start just, like, giving a summary of it. It's a really sweet holiday story about two women who are in love. And one invites her significant other. It's Mackenzie Davis, who plays Harper, invites her girlfriend Abby, who's played by Kristen Stewart, to go home with her for the holidays without telling her that she has not come out of the closet yet with her family.
Which we should say, like, she invited her to come home with her because they were having a good night and, like, enjoying Christmas mm-hmm. lights. Like, that was not originally right. the plan. It was not like... She set out to bring her girlfriend into a homophobic environment. She just sort of, like, on a whim was like, I love you so much. Come mm-hmm. home with me. Like, I want these two worlds yes. to meet.
Getting swept away.
And then, like, she realizes, like, the reality of that the next day. And she's like, oh, babe, you don't have to come with me. No, like, you're good. What about the pets you have to take care of? Like, no. And yeah. Just wanted yes, to throw
no,
that
is
there.
That is a great great and important detail. So Kristen Stewart's like, no, we're go I'm coming, no, it's fine, and so Harper's like, all right, let's do this. And then en route to their parents' house, Harper then breaks the news to Abby that she has not officially come out to her parents, and how Abby being a really kind and supportive girlfriend is like, okay, like, let's do this. We'll figure it out. Like, we have such a history together. A little history about them as a couple. At the beginning of the film, they briefly show you through the title sequence that they've been together for about a year and mm-hmm. have a very good relationship. And so there is a good chunk of history there. So they then enter this world of very traditionalist views, a father who's running for mayor. Is that right? Governor? Mayor?
Yes.
I can mayor. Never remember that type of detail.
It can be assumed that it's like a small-ish
yeah.
town.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Because they live in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. like, the two of them, and they're within driving distance of her parents' house. Assumedly in just like some sort of mm-hmm. small town, like the country club scene and all of that. I was like, is this like
right?
our hometown? Like,
it really was so gross. And then like,
and very white and very white,
so white. And it's like, yeah, it really took me back to like living in Searcy. And at one point I was more, I ended up in situations where I'd be at a country club and felt very much fish out of water, was very drunk a lot of the time, because that's how you cope when you don't belong somewhere. Not that that's the way you should. I want to make that clear. But yeah, and so poor Abby, Kristen Stewart's character, is just in the midst of this very traditional family that has a microscope on them because the father is running for a mayor as a traditionalist. So it's like just whammy after whammy kind of on them. And Clea does such a great job of like oscillating between like the real, like something realistic, something that could be, you know, accessible to real life. And then also tossing in the whimsical, like having Jane's character be the way that she is.
And yeah. Like, and there's like the slapstick yes. of the beginning where like Abby falls off the roof. And then for like a split second, you see like the like Dom and Sub like come out of the house, and it's like a glimpse of like alternative sex sexuality, I guess. Like, I don't know.
And Clea does, I love like her always willingness to like kind of play with the taboo and like the fact that those that the two people living in the house that they're falling off of the roof of are like a Dom and Sub was just like such a great little detail, and just stuff like that that really made this so fun, kind of almost like Russian roulette-y of like what's gonna happen next, like what's coming, who are you gonna meet next. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of it as well. We're both swigging coffee as well.
It's currently happening. Oh, yeah. Running. Oh, that one was water. Hydrate before you...
Them's the rules. But, yeah, I think it would... It's just so important to have this movie right now. Not right now, just in general have it.
Well, a lot of people were upset that it's a coming out story because they're like, when are we going to finally get, you know, just a happy story? But to quote someone that we quote a lot on this podcast, TikTok star at Neil's mom, Lena Wilson, she was like, you know, I have to disagree because we, like, how are you going to say there's too many movies that are coming out stories when, like, you know, like, name five.
Exactly! Yeah. Yeah. There's the, it's not like it's a saturated market on coming out stories.
Exactly.
Or just gay stories in general. And so I do find that criticism, although, you know, it has its... I see the truth in it, but I also disagree with it because I... Yeah, it's... Just getting to see a version of myself on a film, like, is so important regardless of, like, it just means so much to so many people. And I think also I liked a little bit that it was a coming out story, too, because of, particularly because the scene shared between Dan Levy and Kristen Stewart, when they're outside after it has come out that Mackenzie Davis's character is gay in front of her whole family, and she lies through her teeth and, you know, is like, no, I'm not gay, I swear. And like, so Kristen Stewart leaves very hurt, and John, Dan Levy's character, follows her, and then they have a discussion about how coming out is so different for everyone, and the fear of coming out, and how one quote that he said was, once you say those words, you can't unsay them. So the moments prior to coming out to your family are so terrifying because you could lose your world.
It's the closing of one chapter and the beginning of another.
Right, exactly. And there is always the chance that you could lose the world, the universe that you grew up in with this family, and then having to start from scratch and create a new one, that's daunting on anyone.
Because even if it was an oppressive sort of environment, it's what you've known, and I would say that, like, Harper's growing up was probably a very oppressive environment, because you don't come into that sort of like mode of being in your adulthood if it wasn't. So even though it's like categorically bad, you know, you can't blame her for, you know, not wanting to ditch all that she's ever known.
Right. And you know, even though her parents in the film are very like uppity and, you know, very they put a ton of very white, exactly, put a ton of pressure on all three of their daughters, which is what makes them so kind of at a breaking point in this film. All of them reach a collective breaking point with their family. Crap, where was I going with that thought? Even though she had so much toxicity in her family, they also treated her with love too, or at least a version of love that she was taught and knows. And mm-hmm. And you can see that they do care about their kids, whether they do it in a safe, kind, loving way is more of the question. But, you know, internally you can tell the parents do really care for their children. The pressure that they've placed on all three of the daughters, particularly Harper, because she is kind of the still single one, still young, doing successful things. So she's like just in the right place for like possibly fulfilling all their dreams for her. Whereas mm-hmm. the other daughters are older. One's in a marriage, but quit her law, like, quit doing law and practicing law, and so now.
But she's also still successful. Exactly. It's just like a success that they don't understand. Whenever they were on the way to the skating rink, she was like, Gwyneth, you know, mm-hmm. Paltrow, Goop picked us up, and sales have been through the roof ever since. It's like, we have no reason to disbelieve that. Obviously, she's still very successful in a, like, monetary sort of way. It's just, like, they want, like, her to look different intellectually.
Exactly. Like, creative types are not welcome in the family, is that what seems? And definitely, like, Alison Brie, who plays her older sister, that was kind of...
I'm Sloan.
Just walks away. I just really enjoyed seeing Kristen Stewart's jawline throughout this whole... I enjoyed just watching Kristen Stewart's jawline throughout this whole movie.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't
enjoy. No, I did. Very much. I enjoyed it a lot. Can we talk about Aubrey Plaza's character?
Yes,
please. Let's talk about it, because I was obsessed.
God. First of all, love her mm-hmm. so much. Honestly, like, I want a sequel to this movie. Maybe, like, another holiday.
Mm-hmm. Like New Year's.
Where we, like...
Valentine's.
We get to know Riley mm-hmm. more. Because also, like, your heart just hurts for her the whole time. Because she's... sort of been the one to have to, like, carry the secret on her back for all this time, and it has to be so painful to just, like, show up every year and see Harper, mm-hmm. and, like, there was never any resolution. They're, you know, they're adult women now, and, like, that happened in high mm-hmm. school. It has to be so hard.
Yeah, when Riley is telling Kristen Stewart's character the story of her and Harper, that really messed me up, and it made me a little, I will say, I was a little bit shocked about how the film ended up turning out at the end, because there were a mm-hmm. lot of things that made me think that it wasn't going to end the way that it did. But I'm glad that it ended the way that it did, because circling back to the coming out, you know, there are a lot of things that we do when we're in fear that aren't true or authentic to who we really are. And, you know,
whenever you are, like, hiding from trauma and, like, living inauthentically, you hurt people in order to preserve yourself.
Exactly.
And until you heal that, you're gonna continue to fucking hurt people.
Exactly, and I think the way that they were able to make the ending work of Harper and Abby ending up together, even after all the shitty things that Harper did in trying to hide the truth of her and the truth of Abby, at the end she apologizes to everyone that she hurt, and she, you know, she says, Give me one more chance. I'll spend the rest of my life showing you that this wasn't me and making it up to you. And I think it's fair to give, you know, within reason, to give people second chances, especially, like, given the stuff that she did, even though it was shitty and worth breaking up with someone. It still was something that could be reconcilable. Did I do that right? Did that happen out? Okay.
That's a word. That, okay, that is a word.
But yeah. And so I did end up liking the way it ended. Also, I was, like, when I was seeing, like, not after the big climax of the throwdown between all the sisters where they're fighting and Sloane outs Harper to her entire family, I was, like, really worried that it was going to be another, like, kill your gays movie where it was like, this is going to end kind of sad, but also probably trying to be positive. Like, it's probably going to end with Abby being single, but, like, ready to take on the world and find her next person. And yeah. I'm so glad it didn't end up like that, because, I, you know, we deserve to see two people happy together in a queer relationship.
Yeah.
without exactly. suffering. Not that this right. film was without some level of suffering, but, yeah.
Yeah, I will say, like, I think a lot of the discourse around this movie is, like, a little bit too militant and, like, kind of eye-roll.
Yeah, it's a rom-com.
It's a rom-com. It's never going to be more than it is. Like, I'm sorry, it's just not. And, like, people were just angry about, like, the smallest of things. Like, I saw a TikTok that was, like, they showed, like, the scene in the beginning where Abby is, like, giving John the rundown about the pets that he is going to take over being in charge of, like, caring for them because Abby is going away. He's like, sorry, I'm just tracking this guy who is leaving my house. And they were like, yeah, because I'm gay and, like, I just love sex. I'm obsessed with sex. And that's blah, 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 blah. And I was like, that was not the purpose of that
at
all.
It was setting it up for jokes, you know? In the future, you dumb shit.
It was setting, exactly. It was simply setting it up for jokes in the future. And, like, let that just be it. And you have no idea, like, we weren't given any context, like, this guy could have been someone that he's, like, been seeing a lot. Like, we don't know.
It was a plants. He didn't say explicitly.
It was a small, thin joke, and, like, it oh, God.
No,
I don't know.
I completely agree.
Like, in what way does that enforce stereotypes? Like, if anything, it just, like, normalizes, like,
that people have sex and sex is okay.
That people have sex and, like, it's okay and it's not, like, a huge thing. Like, because, of course, like you're saying, it's a rom-com. Like, we're gonna have some, like, ridiculous scenarios, like, just the fact that he is constantly tracking her. Like, like, that's silly. It's stupid.
Yeah. Like, and just, again, like you said, let it be that. Like, don't try to tear apart this movie that's trying to do something good for the queer community. Just also be a film. Like, you know, it's very important. The significance of it is, you know, it's there. But it's also supposed to be just a fun, good, joyful
it's
time.
It's just a movie. Like, I think that putting the responsibility on a piece of art, just a movie, to meet every single one of your needs is irresponsible and fucking stupid.
Yeah, no. Like, imagine if Clea DuVall, like, just, like, gauged, like, temperature checked every gay, like, okay, do you think this would be okay? Oh, okay, well, what about this? Would that be okay? Like, the movie would never get made because everyone has a different opinion on queer culture, and that's what's so beautiful about queer culture.
Everyone has a different fucking experience, and, like, trying to homogenize it is more harmful than anything.
Exactly.
I think.
I mean, that's what's been happening for centuries with straight culture. Like,
exactly.
We've homogenized it and made it into such a toxic, rigid box for people
This is what it has to be. And also, I think that not allowing for humanity, it's just like you want your characters to be healed, self-aware. We wouldn't have a movie. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, what do you want? Just like
a bunch of perfect, like, namaste.
That's so boring.
like
that's so boring and reductive. Mm-hmm.
and also just not true to what queer people and human beings are like.
Exactly. And I, for once, can we give things the freedom to, like, feature bad people and, like, because it's like we're not necessarily supposed to root for Harper the whole time.
Really not. Like,
we're actually not. And
I don't even know what to say anymore because you guys are driving us insane.
Exactly. I'm mad. I've been mad.
I just almost... Anyway. My laptop just almost flew to the ground because I was laughing so hard.
Oh, God.
We're good. We're good. We're safe.
This conversation has gotten dangerous. It's gotten
dangerous. Lee Fierce. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, the criticism that this is a very white movie, that's true. Fair. I can't dispute that. That's very fair.
It's like, all the people of color that were in this film were all very subtle, minor characters, like Sloane's husband, mm-hmm. who, like, had just a few lines. And then that one businesswoman who was backing him. Mm-hmm. But other than those were, like...
With her assistant, too.
Oh, yeah, and like, had these...
The kids who were, like, very much into the macabre, which I thought was, like, very funny. Like, just very subtly, they were, like, very dark children.
They were just like, oh, and I was watching...
Sloane was like, Santa promised them the complete works of Sylvia Plath.
Like, this is your fault, right? Like, and so many great lines like that throughout this film. But I was watching this interview with... Clea DuVall and Mary Howard and Hollard. Was it Hollard?
Holland.
Sorry. I'm reading my handwriting. Just kidding. I'm not reading it.
It's a loose interpretation.
Yes, loose interpretation of her actual name. But in this interview, like, the interviewer was like, so you had all these different big name actors. Like, what was the most difficult aspect of shooting this with, you know, I'm sure all of them had different, like, forms of prep and different forms of, like, preparing for their character and all these things. And she was like, it was the kids, man. Like, she was like, didn't mention a single adult. She just talked about the kids the entire time and like, mm-hmm. how hard it is to direct children because you have to, like, meet them where they are.
Exactly. And I figure that's probably why they, like, there was a lot of, like, oh, the kids are playing hide and seek. And, like, they don't want to come down and get their picture taken. Because it's, like, first of all, kids are really hard to work with. And you can only have them for a certain amount of hours mm-hmm. in a day. Like, I think they can't work more than, like, is it 6 hours?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't even know that there were. I mean, I knew there were probably some, like, laws.
Oh, there's, like, very staunch restrictions. It might be, like, 3 hours. And it's, like. You know, that could be, like, one
Seriously,
scene.
Because, like, setting up cameras and, you know, setting up shots for one scene can take an hour in itself, let alone adjusting, mm-hmm. readjusting, reshooting, somebody fucks up their lines. Like, you know, there's so many.
Yeah.
Stressful. But they did a great job because the kids were fantastic as well, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but, yeah, I just loved how strange every character was in their own little way. Save for the leads, because I felt like they made, like, Clea specifically and Mary made the leads more normalized, so it was more accessible to, like, a wider audience, and then saved, like, those really fun creative characters for, like, these supporting roles, which was fun. Also, mm-hmm. Mary Steenburgen, mm-hmm.
God, love her. Arkansas native. We love her.
As a
She still has a she still has a house in North Little Rock that she comes back to.
Does
quite
Ted
a bit.
Danson come with
and
her?
Apparently, and because Cassidy has run into her
that's
at the Boots.
Sick.
So that's cool. But yeah, she's a supporter of the Arkansas Cinema Society, and we love that. We love Mary.
And she killed
brilliant.
This role.
Even when you hate her, you love her. Because, like, she is fabulous. Because whenever, like, John shows up to the party, he's like, I nailed that. And she's fabulous.
Yeah. And she really is.
She is fabulous. Like, she is fabulous.
She's, and she's so known. Like, I feel like most of the roles that I've seen her in are always very loving, like, caregiver roles that are very great. And this one, she is a nasty country club white suburban mama, and she played it perfectly. And Molly and I, both as people who worked in the service industry, particularly in Searcy, Arkansas, we know what that looks like, and she rocked this role.
She nailed it. She
I was honestly
it.
Having a little bit of like war flashbacks. When every time she's on screen, like, I was like, this feels too real to some of the women
God,
I used to
just like
know.
Being in the drive-thru line and also working in retail and interacting with that kind of person. Like,
but why is it this much?
Exactly. And I will say, like,
I work here, I don't know.
Moving from Searcy to Little Rock, the customer base in Searcy is worse than the ones that I dealt with working in retail.
Oh, I believe it. I think I was kind of desensitized to what an intensely privileged bubble we lived in Searcy. And by privileged, I don't mean necessarily we were privileged, but I mean there was a very specific group of people that were privileged, and everyone else kind of fucking had the worst time ever living there. So.
Right. Yeah. And those people, ironically, are
they're still
there.
They don't leave. It's funny how that works.
They don't. You peak in high school, and then I'm not.
Yeah, I was like, we might need to. This might be getting too specific.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure.
Not that anyone would like come for us.
No, I don't think anyone would come for us.
And
let them.
I will say.
Where's the babe? Come for us!
Fucking come after me!
Seriously. Invigorate me.
Yeah. Give me something to do. I'm so bored.
You and I live in cities now. Those people are minuscule to us.
You want me to roast you? I will eviscerate you. I will eviscerate you. You think you're better than me? I will tell you.
I will tell you all the ways that you're not, and... Oh, my God.
I will make you feel so bad that you never speak again.
Honey, you don't even know what's in an Americano, so maybe you're not at the top of the world, okay? Like...
Okay, but are those bitches really ordering an Americano?
No. Like... No, they're ordering a watery latte.
It's always, two pumps of caramel and...
A dash of milk.
But make it skinny.
And whip whip.
And I'm like, skinny is a scam.
Oh my gosh. We should have an episode talking about that, but not today. Today we talk about Christmas and gay.
Christmas and also gay.
Okay,
so like my cry count for this movie was like 10 times. Like, and I've watched it again because I watched it with Cassidy last night, actually. And, I've watched
it's been
like,
three times. For me.
Yeah. and I sobbed just as much, and it's, like, a span of, like, 20 minutes towards the end. Like, you're just crying
absolutely.
The whole time.
Absolutely. Like.
It's, like, it's all fun and light, and, like, you're just uncomfortable with the situation for Abby for, like, the most of the movie, and then it's, the floodgates open, and literally just tears. The one that, like, really gets me every time is when Jane says, I put 100 hours into that painting, and you just destroyed it.
Nothing.
Like, it was nothing.
That line got me, too. And also, like, so, Jane's...
It was something. I'm crying.
Guys, Molly's literally crying on screen right now. She's reenacting this. I'm so invested in this moment. I'm so invested in this moment. But that's so true. Like, Jane's character. Honestly, if you're not gay and this movie isn't calling to you, that's fine. Watch it just for, like, Jane's character alone.
It is a movie that anyone can enjoy. I watched it with my mom the first time, and we both cried.
Yeah. I mean,
like, the line that got her the first time was when John was talking with Abby outside, and he says, "When I came out, my dad kicked me out of the house and didn't speak to me for 13 years. She's like, "Oh no, it's just a movie, but 13 but years.
The thing is,
and I'm like, "Mom, that's reality." Normal. Like, for a lot of people,
it's scary how frequently I do hear that. Like, that should be the exception and not the rule. But unfortunately, I think it's probably somewhere in the middle of those two. And That scene was the one that wrecked me. And speaking of to, like, anyone watching this movie, I watched it with my sister and my brother-in-law, and who are my roommates. And they were just as much cheering people on as I was. Like if you like comedy, and if you like rom-coms, if you like Christmas, if you like love, if you like funny, like, characters that are so unique to a story, like, watch this movie, guys. It's worth your time, and it's really not that long.
It is a gem of a rom-com. I don't really go for rom-coms usually, because I'm like, this is dumb, and, you know, like, the setups are thin.
They're formulaic.
And that is just the format of that kind of movie, but I really enjoyed this one, and I think everyone can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. People are mad about the ending, about how, like, they're like, homophobia is not cured by a good night's sleep. And I'm like, well, it's more than that. It's not just homophobia. It's like, it's an idea of perfection, and we have to be understanding of the fact that it's like, he had this idea of, like, what, you know, family is supposed to be, and, like, you go ahead, take the reins.
Oh, no, well, it's, like, and it, I think, too, to counter that, that criticism that you share, that you were hearing people say, it wasn't just about Harper, like, coming out, like, that wasn't the big thing. It was the breaking of this image of perfection was true for all the sisters. We had this big blowout where everyone's shit was aired.
It was a spectacle. It was, like, everyone in the town was at this party.
Yes, and they're at a Christmas party, and, you know, Sloane outs Harper, and turns out Sloane is getting divorced from her husband, and Jane is an incredible painter, but nobody gives a shit about her, and all of these players are coming together and, like, kind of breaking at the seams together simultaneously. And so I wouldn't say,
but it's also for him too, because he, the next morning, he says, I sunk most of our savings into this campaign because I thought that if I were elected, you would be proud of me. And they were all like, "Dad, what? We're all proud of you already."
Yeah. No, but that's the thing. Like, so that's why that criticism's kind of a bunch of shit, because, like, it wasn't just about, like, coming out and then having your parents immediately accept you. Like, their whole family was turned upside down by this kind of night, and they had to reevaluate who they were going to be. And they decided to be better for their kids and be better parents for their kids. And that is a story I wanted more parents to see. I want parents to be watching this.
That's the thing is, like, most people that are, like, most of that type of person is homophobic because gay has never been normalized to them. Mm-hmm. It's never something, it's not something that they've, like, seen firsthand, and they have an idea of what a gay person is like and what their life is like. And I think it was like, okay, well, we have this daughter that we're really proud of. She's our, like, star child. And she just happens to be gay. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, helped normalize it a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, what we're also not seeing is, like, at the end of the film, they, you know, go a year later, and you're seeing mm-hmm. that.
Which, like, of course, like, we would love to, like, see some of those scenarios, like, get to play out mm-hmm. a little bit more. But, like, that, again, the format of a rom-com does not allow.
Exactly. And so, but you can't say that, oh, they just accepted her with open arms after all this worrying and everything's better. It's like, you don't know what happened in the interim.
Yeah, there were probably long, hard conversations.
But it's...
between the family and Harper and Abby and, you know, like, everyone. Right.
But that's not what this movie was supposed to be about. This was a rom-com!
Like, tattoo it on my head, like...
Happy Caesar is a rom-com!
It's a fucking rom-com, what did you expect? It's
not supposed to be some, like, I don't know, magnum opus to, like, queer culture in its entirety. But, you know, people love criticizing things that don't fulfill whatever specific needs they have. I thought this fulfilled and it's all, like, my needs.
If you want that story, write that story. Write that story yourself. Make your own goddamn movie.
Like, no, I can't. She already did it. Now it's done. It's like, good. Then you stop criticizing it.
Jesus Christ, we've got to, like, get rid of this idea that there's not room for, like, more than one. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, again, like, that's, I think, harkens back to, like, you know, this fear of, like, of gayness, of, like, we can't have too much or everyone's going to be gay. Or, like, we can't have too many stories about women because, like, the world's not all women. And, like, it's like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. That's, like, these are the arguments that, bigots use to, like, maintain certain boxes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but sorry, just rambling.
Like, I loved this movie. I did too. Come for me. I don't care. I fucking loved it.
And it's going to be one of my yearly, like, Christmas films from now on. Like, I think I'm going to buy a hard copy and everything.
I don't usually, like... Oh,
hell yeah!
I don't usually, like... you know, rewatching a Christmas movie. Unless it's Elf. Mm. No, not Elf.
The Grinch!
The Grinch! And I'll rewatch Elf. I'll rewatch Elf every now and then.
Elf has the narwhal stuff. That's funny, I guess.
Yeah. Those two are, like, the ones that my family quotes the most. And, like, it's, universal. And, like, but I would also, like, watch The Grinch, like, not
me too! So... fun little side story about childhood Chrissy. When The Grinch first came out, like, we all saw it, blah blah blah, saw it in theaters, yada yada, and then we got it on VHS, and I watched that thing the entire summer. It was summertime, and I was watching it, and my parents were, like, genuinely concerned, and I think it was, like, a special interest. And that was my neurodivergency coming out at a young age of, like, I have to watch this movie and only this movie forever and ever, amen. but yeah, I love that you love that one too. That if you,
it's huge in our family. Whenever my sister was, like, I want to say, like, 8 or so, she was so obsessed with that movie that she wanted a Grinch-themed bedroom. And so she got a Grinch-themed bedroom. My aunt, like, made her a Grinch bed. She, like, painted the bed frame lime green and, like, painted on, like, one of his, like, catchphrases and, like, found this, like, fuzzy green comforter and, like, red and white striped pillows, like, red and white striped sheets and all of the... It was ridiculous. I'll have to, like, find a picture.
I was about to say, is there photo evidence? Because, like...
Definitely. I know that there's, like, definitely I have our old, like, family camcorder, and there's, like, the video of her, like, opening it. She had the raspiest voice whenever she was a kid. She's like, my Grinch Man!
Grinch Man!
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny.
Oh, man. Oh, my inner child, when you were saying that, was, like, about to throw up. It's like, oh, that's my dream. But anyway, happy season. Great film.
Filled me with warm feelings and joy and all of that shit. I'm not used to feeling good, so...
All of those warm, fuzzy bullshits or whatever.
Yeah.
So with that, do you listen to, do you have anything other to say?
I don't think so. Maybe next week we'll talk about the other gay Christmas movie.
Yes. And I like that idea. We'll just make it a gay Christmas. Happy gay Christmas.
We're having a very fucking gay Christmas because, you know, I don't
it's
know.
It's 2020.
A lot of people have said, like, Christmas is the only thing I'm looking forward to this year. Like, just because, like, the lights and, like, the whatever. So I guess we'll just talk about Christmas. I'm very desensitized to, like, the whole decorating of it all because working in retail for so fucking long.
Me too.
But I do enjoy the lights.
I do as well.
There. No. I said it. I said it.
Molly, come to New York next year because I guess technically you still can't because of COVID. Fuck COVID! I hate it. But when you come,
fuck COVID.
We're going to walk under the lights together, okay?
Yes. Fuck yes. Fuck yes.
All right, listeners. All right, listeners.
Alrighty.
It's been nice. It's been fun.
It's been the genuine.
Oh, yeah.
Merry Christmas,
Merry
gays.
Christmas. Yeah, happy holidays.
Honestly, I could continue to, like, talk about this movie and, like, sort of, like, combat all of the criticism for, like, hours and hours and hours and hours. But unfortunately, well, actually fortunately probably for the listeners, like, this is not a episodes long thing. We're at 47 minutes. That's probably digestible.
Like, I think so. Also, come in the comments.
Come in the comments. If you have more to say and, like, you have your feelings hurt or whatever, like, message us, like, message
we'll
me specifically. just let me know. LMK ILYTTYL
BRB
Lilas Hags.
I don't know what you're saying anymore. What's Lilas?
Love you like a sis.
Oh my god. I just recently figured out
Hags is have a good summer.
Yes, I did know that one from all the yearbooks. I just recently figured out what the In Case You Missed It one. I was like, what are all these letters? This looks religious.
Oh my god, yes. Get ready with me. That one, I would always read it as Grow Worm. Because it's G-R-W-M. Uh-huh. And I was just like, Grow Worm. That's
BT Dubs, Grow Worm.
God. Hey, buddy.
Alrighty, listeners, I guess we should fuck off or whatever.
Yeah.
Bye! Me too. Wait, I lied. Now I stopped recording. Stop recording! Why won't you stop recording? Yes, this is episode 14. I'm so sorry.
So I don't think you have a choice. How can you be an artist and not reflect the times? That, to me, is the definition of an artist.
The music for today's podcast is The Definition by CJ.
You can find more of his music at cjmakesbeats.bandcamp.com.